TV.
I got to show you a couple things people sent to me here. Look at this. This is a beautiful thing. Look, that's a drawing of one of my favorite writers, Mark Twain, and this was done for me by Tim Hogan. Tim Hogan is a believer. I think he's in Canada. He sent this to my son Gabe in Ohio, who subsequently sent it to me. Mark Twain was in the barn in Ohio for a while before Gabe could get this to me, because I couldn't take it home on the plane because it's unwieldy here. But thank you, Tim, for that. And then Bob Eveland. What a generous man. What do you see this? Yeah, are you ready for this? I'm afraid to show you this because then you're going to expect me to use it and then make it for everybody. It's a yogurt maker. A yogurt maker. Bob's concerned about my health. Thank you very much. And this is apparently advertised as an easy way to get those good probiotics in your gut. And so, yeah, maybe I'll start a little yogurt business on the side here. I will let you know. In fact, I will try it. If I have the bravery to do this, I may, you know, pass it along to my wife, who probably has better talent, better luck at this kind of thing than I do. And I will eat it on the air sometime soon. Thank you very much for that. And thank you, Tim. And thank you, Bob. Thank you, one and all, for your love and your support. I'm just going to read a couple comments from the show yesterday. It's going to seem like I'm defending myself, and I am. I want to go through this quickly, okay? And then I want to get to the practicality of the snatching away. I just got the snatching away on my mind today. With everything happening on the political front, it is astounding, is it not? And I say again, what more could we possibly be waiting for? The world is falling at the feet of this character. And you know who I'm talking about. And I've heard talk about Jared Kushner, this character's son-in-law. But no, he's just too slick, right? He has that classic Antichrist look. In fact, if you watch the Left Behind movies of Christianity, I've looked at little clips. The character that they have portraying the Antichrist almost looks like Jared Kushner. Am I the only guy that think that? But here you have DJT, who's just like all over the place, kind of sloppy in his own way. Did anyone ever think that the man of lawlessness would be a fan of McDonald's? I mean, it's just, you don't think this, but I'm telling you, scripture is fulfilled in the most inconspicuous ways. Like, for instance, Anna and Simeon, who were at the temple on the day of dedication of our Lord, 8 days after his birth, he was taken to the temple and, you know, endured the rite of circumcision as was required by law. And these two prophets, these two people were hanging out waiting there for him. And there was nothing epic about it, except he showed up one day. They saw him. They held him. I think Simeon said, "Now I can die. I've held the Messiah in my arms." And they were surrounded by people, by bystanders. And no one thought anything about it, except there's an old man, "Hey, hold on to a baby." And it's just, I mean, the shepherds at the birth, for crying out loud. Shepherds in the field at night, and these angels said, "Go there." And nobody in the world knew it was happening. It was so, again, inconspicuous. And I find that, I think that we think that scripture is fulfilled with flames of fire and voices from heaven, but it's not. It's just quietly being fulfilled. I was just reading Daniel 9:27 about the covenant that is made by the man of lawlessness with many, a covenant with many. And It's just as simple as somebody passing a piece of paper and signing it. It's like, that's it. That's what Daniel prophesied about. And it happened in 10 seconds. I mean, it's just, it's so under the radar that few people could believe that in our day, scripture could be being fulfilled. This is the thing. Because, again, we're trained to think conspicuous. We're trained to think thunder, lightning. And that sometimes happens. God sometimes does that. But he doesn't have to do it. And this really ties in with my message today on the snatching away. That it will not be an event that will send the world into shock. It will be a passing day. I'm going to get to that. Hang on. So, I just always want to, since I am in the business of exposing and rebuking, I want to make my intentions clear. Somebody, a couple people got the totally wrong idea about what I was doing yesterday by broadcasting that clip from Clyde Pilkington, and a couple people get upset about it, and they think that I have a grudge. I just have to correct this. I'm sorry. Aaron Seamster said, Martin, I agree with you on the point that we are near to the snatching away and the unveiling of the man of lawlessness. I'm going to go through this quickly because I want to get through this. I found your videos last week concerning the 10 dispersed tribes of Israel and Romans 11 very interesting. Having said that, today's video feels like rage bait. Number one, and I'll read my response, but I don't even know what rage bait is. Anyway, you have covered Mr. Pilkington's viewpoints on the end times. If someone types his name into the search bar on your channel page, they will probably find about 100 videos. I don't know. I don't care. There is no reason to seek conflict, not seeking conflict, over personal grievance. I have no personal grievance with Clyde. Using a platform dedicated to the spread of the gospel of grace. What this gentleman does not realize is that the spread of the gospel of grace requires the exposing of false teaching and the rebuking of false teachers. This is why this gentleman's not doing what I'm doing, because he doesn't even see that it's necessary. Spreading the gospel of grace, dress like an angel and fly around, it's all hearts and roses. No, it's not. It seems as though you want someone to say something dramatic / insulting to you. Oh, yeah, I can't wait for that. I love for that. I love when people say dramatic, insulting things to me. No, I don't. But I do respond. What you're saying is dramatic and insulting. In fact, I'm becoming enraged thinking about what you wrote, friend. You're still my friend. I don't know this person. But he starts out in a nice way, and he's very civil about it. You want someone to say something dramatic, insulting to you so that you have justification to talk about Pilkington for 2 more weeks. Yes, that's my goal. Let it go. Well, I'll let it go if the false teaching stops. Just some advice from a friend, thank you. My response, I appreciate the comment, but you are incorrect on several points. I am not enraged. I don't even know what rage bait is. I'm a boomer. Remember, I'm a baby boomer. What is rage bait anyway? I'm not seeking conflict. I hate conflict. That's strike two on Aaron. This has nothing to do with a personal grievance. Strike three. In fact, I've said so many times that I love Clyde Pilkington and why I love Clyde. And then I said, you did not listen carefully. And see, this is the thing right here. That's okay. You didn't listen carefully, Aaron. You missed the whole point of the video, but that's okay. I'm going to calm down and explain it to you. I don't want anyone robbed of their expectation. This is not about me. It's not about a personal grudge. This is where people project on me their shit. How they would do it. If they were in my position, they would operate this way out of a sense of vindication or rage or personal grievance. No, I have a heart for the people of God. I have a heart for the body of Christ. And I know that if anyone comes into the orbit of Clyde's teaching, they will, if they take his words seriously, they will be robbed of their expectation. How many times have I stated that? Over and over and over again. I have a heart for you, the members of the body of Christ. And I know people who now have surrendered to death And they're no longer looking for the return of Christ because of the false teaching over in this corner of the body of Christ. And that bothers me. And so I discovered a video where the man who's teaching these things that people are going, oh my God, what if he's right? We have no expectation except to die. The kingdom of God is 500 years away. That's what Clyde teaches. I found a video where Clyde says he's horribly wrong. And so I felt like it was a goldmine discovery. It's like, hey, guess what? You people who have been relying on Clyde Billington's teaching. Oh, and by the way, I'm talking fast because I want to get through this crap. And I want to correct the record, for God's sake. Personal grudge. I seek conflict from personal grievance. Dude, you don't know me at all. And I know you don't know me because we don't know each other. But did you watch the video? If you've watched me for any length of time, you know that I have a heart for the body of Christ. And for people who twist scripture in order to teach, in order to uphold personal viewpoints, whether it's of family or of love of the eon or whatever, I can't handle that. And the only reason I keep bringing this man's name up is because he is a main teacher in the body of Christ. I don't know of anyone else who's got more influence in the body of Christ than myself and Clyde Billington today. I don't know. Tell me. Show me. And so he's a influential person. When I see people being influenced negatively and being led astray, I have to say something. So I don't want anyone robbed of their expectation. And so I found this new video and I thought, well, this is great. I want to let people know that their teacher admits to being horribly wrong, just like he was in the past. I've been horribly, horribly wrong in the past. Somebody made a great comment. Donald Handy said, if a teacher is convinced that they are in error, they need to upgrade their scholarship before continuing teaching. Yes, I agree with that. This is a great quote. If a carpenter, a master builder, would say, I've been horribly wrong about my measurements in the past. And guess what? I still am. How much work would that guy get in the future? Exactly right. That's what I was saying. I published this video to show people who have had their expectation robbed from them to help them realize that they're depending on a teacher who knows he is horribly wrong. Hard to believe anyone could miss that as my main point, but Aaron Seamster did. Even though there's no such thing as strike four, you got one by thinking that I want to talk about Clyde. I don't. Strikes five and six. I hate drama, and I have not once insulted Clyde Billington. I am criticizing his teaching. God, give me patience. That's what I say at the end. Christ Almighty, give me patience. And I sincerely mean that. I was not enraged until I read that. And then, so anyway, I don't know what rage bait is. And then one more comment here. Someone said this. One day, you will hopefully pay for the continuous slander you've spread about Clyde. I can't wait for it. My response to that? I have not slandered Clyde one single time. And then I wrote this. Hopefully, one day, you will look up the word slander and find out what it means. I can't wait for that day. Yeah, please. So, this guy. Somebody, please help this guy. Bosch Baumelken. Help him understand the definition of slander. Lying about someone. Demeaning their character. And anyone with a brain will realize that I have not slandered my friend Clyde Pilkington one time. It's all about the scriptures. Thank you very much. And my love for the body of Christ. And my being driven crazy by people who have had their expectation taken away. Or the potential of anyone to have their expectation taken away. Now, the topic of today's show is from Tony, and I love this. You're going to think this is bad at first, but this is about to snatch you away. Are you ready? I still don't get all the hoopla concerning this topic. At first, I thought, what? Like, how? What could be more fantastic? What could be better to talk about than are we all destined to die here on this evil planet? Or do we have an expectation that we're the generation that won't have to die? I mean, I think that's pretty amazing and pretty electrifying. But then I settled into this comment and I see the point. It's so good. I still don't get all the hoopla surrounding this topic. I've said this before. When you get down to the nuts and bolts of it, the snatching away is a very practical provision prepared by God for the saints, as are all of his provisions. That is, they're practical. It's housekeeping. Still reading the post. It's housekeeping. Amazing housekeeping, but housekeeping all the same. Unless you believe God is going to wait until all the body of Christ are dead and ensure that no new body of Christ members are called while the rest of us are dying off, or that 100% of humans will be killed during the tribulation, then there has to be a snatching away of somebody who will still be alive. Yeah, right on. And God did not tell Adam all must die. Exactly right. He said to die, you will be dying. So yes, we are all dying, but that doesn't necessarily mean we will actually die. In fact, not only does it not necessarily mean that, but we shall not all be put to repose, according to our Apostle Paul. Praise God. But I still don't get the hoopla surrounding this topic. But yes, this is my disposition on this, and I've said this before, that the snatching away is practical. And here's someone else is saying it. When you get down to the nuts and bolts, the snatching away is very practical provision. And when you this is so amazing to look at this event as a provision prepared by God for the saints, as are all his provisions. So I love this. Putting the snatching away as a provision in the same category as food, water, a roof over our heads, fellowship, this program, it is God's provision for the body of Christ, among other programs. God providing the scripture for us. God providing bodies for us so that we can experience all this wonderment down here. And then there comes a time when God will say, okay, that's it. I've called the last member of the body of Christ, and it's now time for the next provision. Well, Lord, what are you going to provide for the body of Christ now that you haven't provided for them already? Answer, immortality. That is a necessary provision. Changed bodies. It is a necessary provision, like the food and water we need today. Our families, the companionship God has given us, what limited fellowship we have, it's a provision. And now God says, now it's time to provide immortality, to provide these people with new bodies. Oh, yes, we're going to get new bodies, but why? It's practical, because flesh and blood, according to our apostle in 1 Corinthians 15, is not able to inherit a celestial kingdom. Flesh and blood is not up to it. Flesh and blood cannot operate in that realm. If any human wants to go into the realm above Earth's atmosphere, they have to go to a heck of a lot of trouble. They have to have special suits that are oxygenated. In other words, they have to take part of Earth with them. Astronauts do this. They have to take part of Earth with them. They have to take an atmosphere, part of the atmosphere, with them. They have to take the food and water that they're used to here on Earth with them. And there are some very dramatic power issues involved in escaping Earth's atmospheres and escaping gravity. A lot of trouble involved, a lot of science, a lot of power, a lot of dangerous power that is concentrated to take human beings to a realm where, as presently constituted, they were not meant to inhabit. But guess what? Our realm is inherent in the heavens. We have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. The problem is that our realm is not inherent here. It's inherent among the celestials. So that tells me that these bodies are temporary and that as presently constituted, that's not going to cut it. They have to be changed. And these bodies will be changed. And this will be a provision. God is going to provide us with a new body, not as a magic trick, not to show off, but because our bodies, as presently constituted, cannot survive in the celestial realm. You see how it becomes practical? And I've taught this before, but this reminded me, Tony's post here, Tony Lado guy, Ladoke guy, I don't understand the name, Tony L-A-D-O-K-G-U-Y, anyway, Tony, yeah, great post, Tony, thank you. The snatching away is a practical provision prepared by God for the saints, as are all his provisions. Oh, when I read that, I at first was, like I said, I at first was really downplaying it. And then I thought, we think that it's going to take this amazing explosion of power for God to conform us to his image, to change us from mortal to immortal, and to cause us to overcome gravity and mortality. No, no. It takes amazing power of God to keep us the way we are. It takes amazing power of God and Christ to keep from rescuing us this moment. As I've always said, this thing wants to happen. This thing is dying to happen. Jesus Christ is the head of the body, but he is bereft of his body. This is amazing. We don't think of this often enough. We always think of our desperation, but it's his desperation for us. He's a head without a body. That's weird. It's not normal. It's not natural. And so the next provision is to bring the body together with the head. That's another provision. And it's housekeeping. We think it's all about us. I mean, it's about us, but it's not all about us. It's about God keeping house. Housekeeping. My God, that's a shocking statement, Tony. Amazing housekeeping, but housekeeping all the same. And our house is among the celestials, and the housekeeping is that there are myriad, there are innumerable celestial beings who must come to a realization of the truth of the sacrifice of Christ. And apparently that is going to be one of our roles, to bring the evangel to these beings, to conciliate the heavens to God. As you know, Israel was called and is called to conciliate the earth to God. God has already conciliated the earth. We are called to conciliate the heavens to God. God has already conciliated to the heavens. But these two conciliations are at present one way. God conciliated to the earth one way. God conciliated to the heavens one way. The beings are not conciliated to him. We are, but we have an early conciliation, and the result is reconciliation. It's a two-way conciliation. When we become conciliated to God, we become at peace. That's all the word means, at peace. We're at peace with God because we see he's not crazy. He's not a lunatic eternal tormentor. He's not someone who's hoping that human beings make the right decision so his plan can be realized. No, 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 no. He's far above us, and we finally understood that. The day came when God illumined us, and he gave us this expectation, which I defend. And I will chop down anyone taking that expectation away from you, and it's not personal. Thank you very much. And this expectation is a gift, and our understanding of God, who he is a gift. And that is when we become reconciled to God. And so our role among the heavens is to cause the celestial beings to know, oh, wow, we didn't know God was like this. They have just as much false information about God as the people on earth do. So there must be, you know, it's because of Satan disguised as a messenger of light speaking through the Christian religion that has fouled so many people concerning the true God. And Israel did that before. Of course, we know there's a relation there between Israel and the modern Christians. So, of course, the history is to foul the earth's opinion of God. And so it is my understanding that the heaven's opinion of God is also fouled. So we have been prepared. Housekeeping. God's housekeeping. He's got to bring order to the universe. And part of the housekeeping is to bring in the housekeepers. We're the housekeepers, divine housekeepers. But God's got to give us power. Not only does he have to change our body, he has to give us power. Very practical, again, but necessary. I'm going to have to give you people real fucking power. Do you understand that? Yes, Lord. Really? How big? Oh, you have no idea how big. That's one of the reasons I need to change your body, says the Lord, because you cannot contain the power. You cannot sustain the power. You cannot handle the power. Then you see what happened when I called Saul on the road to Damascus? Yeah, the guy was blind for 3 days. Yeah. And I just showed him like 1/100th of the power. And he was blind for 3 days. Couldn't handle it. Well, you didn't change his body. Exactly, I didn't change his body. But I'm going to. And I'm going to change yours too. That's the only way you can handle the glory. And I'm going to give you a shit ton of power. I'm going to give you the same power I have. What? Yeah, I'm going to give you the same power I have. You don't mean it. No, yes, I absolutely do mean it. You're my brothers. You need the power because you're going to be acting in my name among the celestials. You're going to be executing the judgment at the great white throne. Whatever you say will be my word also, because you will be a perfect image of me. Just as I'm the image, perfect image of my Father, you will be a perfect image of me. Those he designates beforehand, these he calls. Those he calls, these he justifies. Those he justifies, these he glorifies. Also going to give you a lot of glory, a lot of power. You're not ready for the power now. Well, I think I am. No, you're not. You're not ready for it, but I'm going to make you ready for it by changing your body and giving you my mind. Yes, we will receive the mind of Christ. Very practical. Because if we don't receive it in total, we have it in part. Everything's in part. Everything's in measure. My God, if he didn't give us an earnest of the inheritance, we would be devastated. So at least we have an earnest of it. We have a down payment, and we're going to get the full payment, the full deal. And it'll feel natural, like I said before. And that goes along with Tony's post here. It's going to feel natural. Like, oh, it's about time. Woo, yes, fits like a glove, yeah. Well, this was made for you, Christ will say. This role has been tailor-made for you. And every single event you've gone through in your life has made you fit for this role. That's why it's going to feel so natural. The snatching away is not going to be a crazy, wild thing like you just won a washer and dryer on The Price is Right. No. It's going to feel totally natural. It's going to be totally like, okay, yeah, now we're there. Now we're there. Now that's it. That's it. Yeah, got it. Wow. Where has this been my entire life? Well, you had to go through that preliminary crap in order to get here. You wouldn't appreciate it. Got it. Just between me and you, like, I got the contrast principle. I got it. I understand it. Like, I think enough is enough. And so, Lord, anytime, and I think I speak for all of you, we are ready.